Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome to your double OT version of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. And we've got a lot to talk about tonight. Plain and simple, Pelicans lose in double OT 110-108 to the Memphis Grizzlies. A game they just should have won, probably in regulation, maybe the first overtime, maybe just do it in the second overtime. Instead, they shot themselves in the foot basically at every opportunity they could. It was a weird, kind of exciting game, though not well played on offense by either team whatsoever. We'll also talk about that. Basically, there's a lot to take away from this. This is just, if you're a Pelicans fan, you should be furious. There's no two ways about that one. They could have, like I said, they could have won. They didn't. Didn't help that Drew Holiday was out tonight. So was Etuan Moore. Both those guys with, you know, it was Holiday's foot was hurting him. Etuan Moore's had that foot issue since the preseason. So they held him out because it sounded like it flared up after the game in OKC last night. But, you know, Pelicans coming in on a second night of a back-to-back without Holiday, without Etuan Moore, two of their more key contributors here. Not necessarily supposed to expect a win, but then you go and get close, and then you play this team kind of well, and this was a game against Memphis they could have won. It was basically Marc Gasol and a whole bunch of other, you know, kind of no names at times. Certainly not names that, you know, casual NBA fans know, but still quality players nonetheless. But, you know, the other biggest name here was Tony Allen on the team, and he did some work, did some damage, especially in overtime a little bit on a specific play, which we are going to talk about. I should just jump into it. I'm kind of annoyed here myself, like steamed after as I record this after. So I'll try and keep my thoughts all in order here because there's a lot actually. This is just almost a bit of a microcosm of the Pelican season. So we've got a lot to talk about today. But before we get to that, look, I know you guys love basketball. A lot of you love football. Some have even mentioned the soccer love to me at times. I'm a big AC Milan fan personally. So are you all ready to get in on the action? Because then you definitely want to check out BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com. They've been in business for over 20 years. They are highly rated. I use them personally myself for when I make occasional wagers on sports, let's say. And the biggest thing is they're safe. You're not worried about your information being compromised, it being given out in any sort of capacity. That's one of the most important things when you look for a service like this. So BetDSI also has a great basketball special. If you sign up right now, you're going to get $10 free to try their service. And they're also offering a 100% bonus on your first deposit over at BetDSI.com. There's tremendous customer service if you run into any problems. And the biggest thing, when you're winning, which you know sports, you know you're going to do pretty well on this, you can get your money fast and easy. Get your payment of winnings right to you, sent to you, deposited to you, however you want to go about it. They can handle that. Get that money back quickly and safely. Important thing right there. That is an underrated aspect. We've heard stories of gambling, offshore things getting shut down. You don't need to worry about that here with BetDSI.com. They have hundreds of football and basketball wagers to choose from. If you like UFC, you can bet on that as well. Basically any sport. They even have live in-game wagering on all football and basketball and other major sporting events. So basically, you can play virtually everything over at BetDSI.com. So definitely go to BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. And use the promo code Pelicans10. Pelicans10. Get your free wager and just start winning today. So the 110-108 loss in double overtime at home to the Memphis Grizzlies that was missing their, you know, Marc Gasol played. Mike Conley's been out with an injured back. Chandler Parsons is out for him currently. Those are the two second best players. And the Pelicans still couldn't win at home. Though the Pelicans are down Drew Holiday, it was a toe injury. I think they're diagnosing it as turf toe. and Etuan Moore with a foot injury, and I understand the reason for holding both of them out. The Pelicans don't play again until Thursday, where they take on the Sixers, and Embiid. It gives them, basically, if you hold them out as they did against Memphis, a three-day rest with a foot injury, just keeping weight off of that is pretty important. So hopefully those guys will both be back for the Pelicans on Thursday. My biggest issue, and I had a big issue before this game even freaking started here, was that you probably don't want to play Anthony Davis in this game. You have him now as the sole focus point of this offense, which has always been the case, really, but at least he's got far less help with both of those guys out. There's going to be added defensive attention on him. He's going to be getting double and triple teamed constantly, which means more wear and tear on his body. He's going to have to play against physical players in this. He's going to get hit. He's going to get banged around. This is after they played a game in OKC last night, had to get on a plane after that, probably got to New Orleans around 1 or 2 in the morning, and then you're going to throw him out there again tonight after he got his foot x-rayed after the game. It was his right ankle, supposedly. I don't know if it's been confirmed by the team or not yet, though Davis himself denied it after the game, but it sounds like he did get x-rays. So you got this guy who had his ankle x-rayed. When the night before that, or the game before that, he had hurt his right shoulder and was out for a little bit. Look, Anthony Davis is tough. He comes back in and plays through injury, but he is actually injury prone. And that is a worry, especially on the second night of a back-to-back. So all of a sudden, yes, they go out and they throw him in there where he's going to have to even have a higher usage rate than normal. On a night, he's probably exhausted. And guess what? Anthony Davis played basically 50 minutes last night. Scored well, played well, had a good game, but there were times when he took possessions off, probably due to how tired he was, how much pain he was in. And then during regulation, he rolls the same ankle he had x-rays on the night before. I don't like this, straight up. Usually when you see those ankles rolled like this, I was watching it, it just kind of gave out. That means it's already in pain. He couldn't stand putting that pressure on it and having it stay stabilized. Gave out. He stayed out there, was visibly limping, was less effective throughout the game. He's so, you know, dominant and so good, even injured and tired, he can put up a game of 28 points and 17 rebounds, but he wasn't as aggressive as he has been at other times during the year. No offensive rebounds, showing a lack of aggression. He only got to the free throw line 7 times. Normally you see him get there between 12 is kind of the minimum in that range. Wasn't able to do that tonight because he couldn't go to the rim as hard and aggressively as he wanted to, probably because he was tired and in pain. So I don't like this plan already. If you have Holiday out there, sure, it can take the burden off Davis. But this was just too much to put on him tonight. And you've got to wonder if there's going to be any lingering effects on his ankle after this one. We'll probably find out tomorrow or the day after. And then if all of a sudden he's listed as questionable for this game on Thursday, we probably know why that was the case. So that was my issue with before the game even started, and my issue with how the game, I guess the player management and the minutes management was going throughout the game as a whole. You don't need to play Davis in this game. This team's not making the playoffs. It would have been good maybe just to give him some rest the night off. You also want him really playing significant amount of time with Jrue Holiday, who was out. Don't forget, Holiday is an expiring contract. The Pelicans need to make a decision whether or not they want to re-sign him, whether or not he's part of the future, and is that person to pair with Anthony Davis, and you find that out when you play him with Anthony Davis, not by just playing Davis out there himself. We know what Davis is capable of. Don't risk getting him hurt even more, and he's already dinged up and was tired. And I'm going to talk about Davis a little bit more later on as we get through the podcast here. So some other good things of the night. Let's talk about that. Let's be a little bit positive, all sunshine and rainbows. Solomon Hill to start the game, I emphasize to start the game, was aggressive, trying to attack the basket. Wasn't really trying to only be a corner three-point shooter, but instead was trying to get to the rim. He ended up taking 5 free throw attempts, making all of them, which was very nice to see from him. At least he's contributing on the offensive end, whether it's getting opponents in foul trouble or just being trying to score inside and maybe opening things up for kickout passes later on. Good for him, though. He only really did that in the beginning before not really scoring much else later on. Langston Galloway was the other big Pelican of the night, 26 points. He was 6 of 13 from deep. What I really like about what he does, and this is pointed out by a few people on Twitter as well, is when he gets an open shot, he takes it. Even if he's having a bad game, and my goodness, is he a streaky shooter. You know, he might be misfiring all night, but if he gets an open look, he's going to keep taking those three-point attempts, and that's perfect. That's a great thing. That's exactly what you want to see from a shooter. Just keep shooting if you're open. You got to shoot out of slumps. Galloway's a streaky shooter. You don't know what you're going to get from him. He tends to string and bunch good games together, so who knows? Maybe he'll have another big game Thursday against the 76ers. Entirely possible. And without him happening to have one of these games tonight, I don't really think it's dictated by opponent. I think it's just he either has him or he doesn't. It's a good thing it was tonight, because otherwise this game doesn't go to overtime. It doesn't really matter. And the Pelicans lose, and then I'm going to be furious with them anyway because of the Anthony Davis minutes thing. So these are also, you know, still issues. Ajinsa got out there, actually played some solid defense at times. Terrence Jones, who had 10 points, didn't look great. Missed a lot of easy looks at the rim, but he had a major block at the end of regulation that got the Pelicans the ball back. It was huge. It was a tremendous block. You got to see highlights of that thing. It was great. That was wonderful to see. At least you got a clutch defensive play out of him. And then the good kind of ends there a little bit. The nice thing to see, I'll mention this before we jump on to the rest of this here, is Buddy Hield got the start tonight. Last night, whatever. You guys know I do this. I am sorry. So he got the start against the Memphis Grizzlies. You know, started hitting some. He was 2 of 5 from three. He hit some shots. Hit another one. Didn't really get to the line, but you're not looking for him to do that. Got some rebounds. The bad on him is he has the tools to be a decent defender, not a great defender, not a good defender, but maybe just a league average defender. But his court awareness and just the mental side of that isn't there right now. He picked up 2 early fouls, which got him booted out of the game. They needed to send him to the bench, and that's a problem. One of them was just stupid on the perimeter that he didn't need to do, and that's what kind of hurts him. He's still trying to feel out his three-point shot. He airballed some. At times, he launched some that were too long at other times. Those are problems. There's no consistency in his shooting right now. And hopefully, it's just he gets more playing time or he takes more reps in practice and works with the coaches. That'll change. Before I start talking about the issues with this team here, I just want to make sure you guys are listening to Locked On Saints, to Locked On NBA. Those are two wonderful podcasts. The Locked On Network, it's a pretty great thing. We've got podcasts for every team in the NFL and the NBA, and no one else is coming to you 5 days a week like this. There's no other Pelicans podcast that's giving you this type of analysis, insight, or even coming to you 5 days a week. There's one or two others that come daily, but they focus on other things as well. They're not going to give you deep dives into the team like I'm about to give you in the second half of this podcast today. And I mean that in all modesty. So make sure you're listening to Locked On NBA. It's a great, great take just around the league. If you want to know what's going on in the NBA as a whole, it's a wonderful thing to listen to. So please make sure you're subscribing to that. Make sure you're subscribing to Locked On Pelicans. Following it on Twitter, it's at Locked On Pels. Subscribe on iTunes, on Audio Boom. Rate it 5 stars. Share it with your friends on Facebook, on Twitter. Tell your friends in the car. Tell your parents. Tell your girlfriend, your husbands, whoever it is. Let them know. You know, like I said, only thing coming to you guys 5 days a week. So the bad. And there's a lot of it. First and foremost, perimeter defense. Always been a problem for the Pelicans. Here, when you look at the guys who scored a lot on this team, you're going to see Troy Daniels, who shot 7 of 11 for 3, because the Pelicans kept losing him. When they give up an offensive rebound, especially, they don't know who their assignments are, and at times it just seems like they don't understand where they're supposed to be. And I mentioned this on yesterday's podcast. The previous season, we really lamented about basketball IQ on this team, and it wasn't there. And I thought they'd sign guys, especially like Solomon Hill, and Etwan Moore and some of these other players that have better basketball IQ. You had to figure another year in Ehrman's defensive system. Maybe they'd get it. they're still giving up open looks on the perimeter far, far too often, and I don't know what to say to it anymore. It's that they're just not able to do it. It makes you want to retool this roster entirely. Hurts you don't have Jrue Holiday. That would have been there to potentially defend, but is what it is. They gave up 29 points to him. Marc Gasol is Marc Gasol. You're not going to be upset when you give up 28 to him. Maybe you'd like it to be a little bit less than that. But he's so tough to defend. He's got range from three. He was 3 of 6 from there. Scoring all around the way from jumpers, at the rim, whatever it was. He's just a tough assignment to defend. You can't have Omer Asik playing on him. You've got to have Anthony Davis on him. Similar to how do people defend Anthony Davis with the repertoire he has of offensive skills and shots. And same thing with Marc Gasol. How do you defend him when he can shoot threes, when he's got that fadeaway, fallaway jumper, one of which, you know, pretty much tied the game? That's almost impossible to defend at a certain point. There's just nothing you can do about that. And the Pelicans weren't going to do anything, even if they could have done something. Let's be honest here. Other issues, though, you know, they still struggle with defensive assignments, knowing where people need to go. And they gave up offensive rebounds at key times, unfortunately, which allowed Memphis to stay in this game. An extra defensive rebound or two, this game gets closed out, and I'm not as mad about Anthony Davis playing 50 minutes. And yeah, me being upset whether he played 50 minutes or not was going to certainly hinge on a win. If you play him, you better go out and win. Well, they played him, and then they just threw this game away. And it's a problem, and you can't do that in this case. You wasted just a huge night of wear and tear on his body and at least get a victory. But no, not able to do that. So the other huge area is, and if you watch the game, you know this, was the play calls after timeouts, the ATOs as they're known as. Absolutely atrocious for the Pelicans. And I think this speaks a lot to coaching. Part of it is, maybe they don't have the players to execute this. But we've seen them run good plays out of timeouts before, so why was tonight any different? And maybe everyone on this Pelicans, you know, fan base is a little bit spoiled by Monty Williams and the amazing play calls out of timeouts he had. But tonight, with Alvin Gentry, it was just atrocious. They had a chance to win the game at the end of regulation, and not really sure what happened on a lot of these type of plays, and I might be getting them incorrect, but there was one out of a timeout either at the end of the first overtime or regulation. I'm forgetting which, so bear with me. I haven't rewatched the game yet, and I'm going to look at it later on. But there was one where Anthony Davis is standing at the top of the three-point line. The ball gets passed into the far wing on the right side of the court. Anthony Davis at the top of the three, basically after kind of setting a screen. Tim Frazier drives, gets the ball to Terrence Jones, who then tries to make a shot, but it gets blocked and doesn't work out. Davis comes in, rim running, streaking straight for the rim right after Jones takes the shot. One, he should have moved earlier. Two, why is he standing at the top of the three-point line? You don't want him taking a three-pointer. If you needed three, you draw up a different play. You should get him the ball on the low block. This is just a terrible call. And I'm not entirely sure what they were doing with this look, what exactly the plan was. Gentry said after the game that the whole goal was to try and get Davis maybe the ball at the top of the three-point line for a long two, which he's good at, that jumper he makes, silky smooth, or he can drive to the rim. Except when you're playing with Terrence Jones and other guys down there, they're killing the spacing, and he had no room to drive to the rim. Terrence Jones was standing right underneath there with two guys on him. There was, and you had Tim Frazier driving at the rim before making that pass. There's like three bodies underneath the basket. You're not going to have a good look on driving to the rim. So I don't really know what was going on there. The other play was the one where it was the lob to Anthony Davis off the inbound pass from Solomon Hill. Not the worst idea. The problem with it is Davis is on the other side of the rim, so this pass needs to be above the basket, basically, for Davis to jump, get his hands on it, and try and dunk it in. And he was actually kind of open to do so. But the problem is he, at that point, had played over 40 minutes in the game, let's say. Maybe not. Maybe he was at like 36 minutes, 38 minutes, something around there. He was at 40 minutes, basically, exactly. If it was in regulation, I'm, again, forgetting which one was which here. But he's played a ton. It's the second night of a back-to-back, so he's already on 2 days of just significant minutes. He's got the ankle injury, right foot, don't forget that. His jumping ability all night wasn't that good. I don't know if running a lob play for him is the best idea. I think you can maybe work a different shot open here, but they don't do that. They go with this, and you just have to wonder if that was the... It's a well-designed play. I actually agree with that. But it wasn't the right time to run it. And that was a bit disappointing to see. There were other times out of timeouts where it just seemed like they didn't know what they were doing. And I wonder if this is just the coaches either tuning out Alvin Gentry, not knowing where they're supposed to be on offense and not understanding this offense and not knowing the offense, or what. And then in Gentry's post-game presser, he gave something that was a little bit telling about this. He said, with the overtime tip-off, the first or second one again, I'm forgetting them here as I'm recording this in the moment after. There was the tip, and then Tony Allen got the ball and ran straight down and scored on a layup just right away after the tip. Just quick move. Gentry said they even talked about that. I think it was the start of the second half, or second OT. So they even said, Gentry says, hey, you guys, watch out for Tony Allen doing this. Watch out for him taking the tip and then streaking down to score right away. They mentioned it literally a minute before this happened. He said, defend this, take it away. And then they don't defend it, and they don't take it away, and he scores. And that's 2 points right there. And hey, they won by two. So just goes to show you just what's going on here. Just an absolutely awful, awful situation here. Just are they not listening to him? Is that not someone they want to be playing for? And I'm not entirely sure. And, you know, I think Gentry, his post-game presser was a little bit quieter than I would have expected. In the past couple of games, when they've lost and he's been asked questions, he's been a little feisty, a little bit surly, a little bit angry, where he yells at maybe the reporter that, you know, asked a question he didn't like. And then tonight, last night, whatever it is, whenever you're listening to the podcast, let's say, I'm going to blame it on you guys, you know, when he speaks to the media after the game against Memphis, he just sounds resigned and like, what can you do? And it was just a weird reaction after, you know, that fire and that temper's gone. And maybe that was kind of more important thing. So I don't know what's going on right there with him. But there's some concerns with this coaching staff and maybe not reaching the players like they need to anymore. And you know, that's something where a lot of people, and we're going to talk about it probably tomorrow, are going to be questioning, you know, if he should have a job, if they should make a coaching change. And so, you know, this is, you know, a lot of the evidence pointing to maybe they should make a move. So this loss, again, could have been avoided. And I'm annoyed that they're going to play Davis 50 minutes in a loss. If you got to go out there and want to win and compete, you need to play better. Simple as that. The Pelicans players need to execute better. They need to score better. They need to take better shots at times. And they didn't do that. Honestly, one or two possessions more tonight, and they would have won this game literally at the end of either overtimes and regulation. Just a little bit better play. They can win this game, but they don't. And you waste Anthony Davis 50 minutes out there on the second night of a back-to-back when he's playing on a bum ankle that he then rolled in the middle of the game still. And I don't think that's acceptable for this team. And if you're the coaching staff, you need to look at yourselves and be very disappointed in it. Again, maybe they can rebound against Philadelphia. I always say rebound, but rebound is in play better against Philly, a team that's not very good. Memphis is still Memphis. They still do have Marc Gasol. He's a very, very good player, as you saw tonight. So we'll see. One thing I do want to mention, another bright spot that I forgot to say earlier, has been Anthony Brown tonight, last night, against Memphis. Played very well for this team. And I know a lot of people are holding that hope that Quincy Pondexter is going to come back and make a huge difference for this team. I just don't think so, and I don't see it happening. And I don't know when he's going to come back. Again, he's still not participating in contact practices. Anthony Brown's a young guy who was brought in middle of the season, no training camp, no preseason with this team, was playing in the D League, which is not the same level of competition as the NBA is. And he's played pretty well. Hit a three-pointer tonight, scored 9 points total, was aggressive, played solid defense. He's got nice length, speed, and athleticism. And he's a guy I think they should keep playing going forward. Even if Pondexter comes back, he shouldn't be a rotation player right away. And I'd be upset if they took minutes away from Anthony Brown at this point. Frankly, he's the only bright spot on the team outside of Davis right now. So keep getting him time in there. I'd play him more than Buddy Hield personally. But that's just me, and I'm not the Pelicans head coach. So that's going to be it for Locked On Pelicans. Like I said, disappointed in the coaching staff, disappointed in the players for not executing better. Tomorrow, we're going to have an. We'll probably talk about whether Alvin Gentry should be fired or not. I also want to talk more about the minutes for Anthony Davis, the minutes for Buddy Hield, and dive into those topics. And then Thursday, we'll probably do, you know, the game preview for this, the 76ers. Recap that game for you on Friday before heading into the weekend where the Pelicans do play two games as well. So got a lot of good stuff for you the rest of the week. A lot, you know, I'm sure the Alvin Gentry thing is going to be a hot topic. So if you got any questions or takes on that, tweet them at me, at Nola Jake or at Locked On Pels. Should be a lot of fun. So everyone, thank you for listening, and I'll be back with you tomorrow.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.